B-Pod Studios.
Cash fools everything around me. Green, get the money. Dollar, dollar bill, yo. Cash fools everything around me. Green, get the money. Dollar, dollar bill, yo. Cash fools everything around me. Green, get the money. Dollar, dollar bill, yo. Cash fools everything around me. Green, get the money. Dollar, dollar bill, yo.
This is Over Under 98.5 with Joe Murray and Dan Lifshatz. Here are the Bankroll Boys. Who you got?
All right, welcome in. It is the Over Under 985 podcast. I'm Joe Murray. He's Dan Lifshatz. Sorry for being a little tidy there, or a little tardy, excuse me. I couldn't get the video to work, so you had to see us, right? That was like the one big thing. So we are live on Twitter and on YouTube, so thank you for you guys standing by for us. We have two games tonight, one in college, one in the NFL. We'll get to those in a little bit. And a huge college football slate, which also has the Big Ten involved. Dan's team, Illinois, plays Friday night.
God.
So maybe we'll start with that one as we go forward here. But a lot of games, Dan, so I think we should get right to them.
Let's do it.
Let's start Friday night. I don't care about this game, but Jacksonville State, Florida International. FIU is 0-for. They haven't been good. Jacksonville State, remember they played Florida State really tough there early on?
Yeah, first half.
I don't know why, but I don't love them giving Florida International 10 points, but no real opinion on this game, but that's what I see right off the bat.
Yeah, I don't really have a ton on this game. What I would say, just based off kind of what I know from Florida National, is they played Florida State pretty tough early on. We obviously saw Florida State respond last week, and I really thought they were the worst team in the ACC. They had a nice bounce back weekend, or you know, last week, and so you know, credit given. So that loss doesn't look as bad now. I mean, I don't know. I don't really have a ton on this one because I still don't think we really know what FIU is yet. So we're gonna find out what they are going forward here.
These two teams have never played each other. The only thing I can tell you, though, is that the over has been very good for an FIU game so far this year. So that's the first game. Tulsa, South Florida. Vomit. Tulsa, -10.5, the total right now at 50 in this one. South Florida has been a little better than we thought this year. I know they're 1-4, they're 3-2 against the spread so far. We know about Tulsa's big win as well. They had that big upset against UCF, and I will not ever, 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 ever touch UCF. So I say. But last week, South Florida put up 37 to Temple.
Yeah, I mean, how bad is Temple? They have looked pretty bad for two straight weeks now. South Florida, I mean, this team is a team that lost by 20 at Eastern Carolina. Tulsa, I think a lot of people are sleeping on this team this year, to be honest with you, Joe. This is a team that played Oklahoma State really tough. I mean, they were – you know, they lost 16-7. They lost the score of the game due to penalty. They were in that game the whole way, and then they beat UCF in UCF. Again, obviously, Central Florida just lost to Memphis in, you know, last-second fashion. I thought UCF was the better of those two teams there, Joe. I'm going to go early. I don't have a ton of PPs this week, but this one, to me, is this is my favorite play of the week. I'm going PP. There you go. PP Tulsa. And I'm going to buy the hook. Rarely do I recommend ever buying the hook. I was actually lucky to get 10 earlier this week. It was 9.5 this morning. I doubled down a little bit of 9.5, and it's back up to 10. It's not East Carolina. It's Eastern Carolina. Blow me. It's ECU. So I don't care. I'm going Tulsa, and I'm buying the hook, which means I'm doing 10 minus 120 here. Okay. So I'm taking the extra 10 cents for the half a point, but I am, I love Tulsa.
I do.
And I'll get the key number here just in case something happens late. But yeah, I absolutely love Tulsa.
Okay. Last time the two teams played was 2018 and South Florida won by 1 point, 25-24.
Yeah, Tulsa's a totally different program now. They're returning all sorts of people on that team. They are significantly better than where they were. And South Florida's a program on the decline, not the upswing. So there you go.
UAB is playing ULL. ULL lost last week to my guys, my team, the Chanticleers, the Roosters. UAB opened a favorite. Now they're a 2.5 point dog. I don't understand that. Maybe if they don't see ULL losing two in a row. UAB at home here. Better quarterback, if you ask me. ULL might have a better running game. Might. I like the home dog here. Again, it's not a PP or anything like that, but so far I lean the old home doggy in this game. Dude, they're 9, so they've been hot, the Blazers. UAB. They've been hot of late. But yes, in this one I also lean the over. But yep, I like UAB. In that one, I'm not sure why they went from being the favorite to a dog, though. I wonder what happened there.
Yeah. By the way, for the people asking about Tulsa, we are using Bookmaker Lines. I know I used Five Dimes a couple weeks ago. People were upset, so we're trying to be consistent to use Bookmaker. Bookmaker, Tulsa is minus 10.5, minus 109. You bat a half point to 10, it's minus 119. I'm going to call it minus 120 just to be straight because I think it's a little bit easier for everyone. If it's minus 120 instead of minus 119, so I'm giving myself a disadvantage.
I have a plus 11. I see USF plus 11.
Yes. Okay. Well, I have, they are 10.5. We're using Bookmaker, so I'm going off the lines off Bookmaker right now. That's what we're using, or what we have to use, apparently, because everyone loses their shit if we don't. In regards to the UAB game, Joe, I think UAB is the better team. So I am kind of confused here. I think they have a borderline elite defense, I would say. I mean, they've upgraded at the quarterback position from Tyler Johnston. I thought they played pretty well the last few weeks. We've seen them play. They had a nice win versus UTSA. Again, they didn't cover that one, but still. And then they blew out Western Kentucky, which is something they should do. Third home game in a row here because they didn't play Rice. I mean, I don't know. I think this is a pretty even game. I think that you can kind of see the spread going either way. By the way, ULL is now minus 3, Joe, which is, a pretty key number there if you're looking at UAB plus the points. I know that UL lost to, Coastal Carolina last week. They're on the road at UAB. I don't know. I just this is going to be a real interesting game. I'm going to stay off this. If you're looking, if you really, really want to play something in this one, I mean, maybe I'd look at the potential under here because UL's defense is still very stingy at times. UAB's offense is not as explosive as Coastal Carolina's. And, UAB has a borderline, elite defense, especially in the Conference USA. I mean, they might have the best defense in the Conference USA outside of Marshall. So I don't, I think it's a potential under. I'm not going to play the under. I'm not going to play anything there. But I do think this is going to be the game I'm going to watch Friday night out of everything. That includes the game that we're going to talk about next, Joe.
Do we even bother? Okay. Illinois at Wisconsin. We know what happened last year. I mean, F Illinois.
Yeah, I mean, there no Jack Cohn for Wisconsin. He is out, I believe, indefinitely right now. This is going to be, I mean, this is, opening game for Big Ten in Madison. This is going to be interesting. What is Camp Randall without fans for Wisconsin? What is, Illinois on the road? Obviously, Wisconsin probably wants some sort of revenge here, would be my assumption. I think 19 is a lot of points, even to a team that, in my opinion, we all know I feel about Illinois. They fucking suck.
Yeah, but Illinois is on the rise. Like
they are. They may not fucking suck this year. So, so I don't know what the hell that was. So anyways, this is a game I'm probably going to stay off just because I don't have a good read on what Wisconsin is without Jack Cohn. And, it looks like they're starting a freshman quarterback. So,
home team 4-0 against the spread last four meetings. The over 4-0 last four meetings as well.
For those wondering, we'll get to the Thursday games in a little bit.
Yeah. If you want the bunny, you got to chase the tail. You anybody know what movie that's from?
I'm going to let you do it because no, I don't know.
No, I know what it's from. If you're from Boston, you should know that shit. Anyways, Syracuse is plus 46. I'm not going against Clemson anymore. I'm not doing it. Syracuse, DeVito out, their safety out. Kid Culpepper's playing. He stinks. Dino Babers, I wonder if he's going to get canned. Anyway,
sure feels that way.
I'm not touching this game. Nope. If anything, it's the over for me.
Yeah, I mean, this is one of those games where you look at Clemson and say, well, they just absolutely fucked up Georgia Tech. So you don't feel comfortable taking Q's. Q's was terrible against Liberty. I DP'd Syracuse. They got blown out by Liberty in the Carrier Dome. That's embarrassing. Just straight up embarrassment for Q's. I have no interest in touching this one, Joe. I know the total's sitting at 62. I've heard some sharp talk about taking an under there. I am not personally going to be following their lead, but that has been the only talk I've heard on the game.
Nope, nothing. Mercer Army. Army's a 30-point favorite. I'm not sure if they should be 30 to anybody, unless this was Mercer basketball. I got nothing for you here.
I mean, Army beat the Citadel 14-9 and Abilene Christian 55-23. So, I mean, those are your two most comparable games right there. They would cover one. They wouldn't cover the other. I don't know. It's not something I'm equipped to handle with Mercer football.
Yeah. It's the town. Yes, people, you got it right. Yeah, the girl at the bar. She's like, if you want the bunny, you got to chase the tail.
Yes, Blake Lively.
And he's like showing her a $20 bill. I think they were at, what bar was that? Next up, Game On. I think that's where they were. Anyways, let's just get this out of the way, Dan. Coastal Carolina PP minus 5.5, Georgia Southern. So we can just move on. Nope. We're not going against Coastal Carolina, and there's no write-up here. There's nothing.
I'm not betting it. I do think Georgia Southern can easily win this game. This is a potential letdown, but I would not touch it. I would not go near it. If anything, you have to ride the Chanticleers.
Listen, if you know who I am, you know that it goes Clemson, Ohio State, Alabama, Coastal Carolina. That's my rankings, and we'll leave it at that. Memphis, those assholes, Brady White, dickheads, coming back from like 15, 18 down. And now they're at home against Temple, who haven't been good. They're only given two touchdowns. I think this is going to be a tough day for Temple here.
I mean, this is not the best spot for Memphis coming off an emotional win against UCF and then traveling to Cincinnati next week. So it's a look ahead for them. I think Temple absolutely overlooked USF last week. I don't think there's any doubt about it. They overlooked South Florida to get to Memphis. And I think they'll be more prepared. Again, they lost to Navy their opening game, so it's kind of hard to say that they're a good team. But I do think that they're looking ahead. I think this is a potential spot where they may not win the game, Temple, but I think they have a chance to cover. I wouldn't I don't feel comfortable taking either side. This is absolutely a look ahead to Memphis because they are on the road at the Bearcats.
You know who won last year? Temple. And I had Memphis. And I hate Temple. So I'm out. But I like Memphis. So
there should be a shitload of points this game. I feel like everyone's going to be on the under because of the Temple defense. But Memphis should have put up 30 or 40.
Listen, if I can tell anybody anything. I mean, Georgia. Look what happened to Georgia last week. Is anybody playing defense anymore? Like if you're on an under, dude, you're sweating your ass off. You are. Any under. You know what, Dan? I'm saving this for Saturday. But think about it. Like, you know how, like, you know, we see people always make the jokes, oh, you know, you can't bet the under, or, you know, don't be scared, or whatever. No, have we seen a team play real? You know who's played good defense? Marshall. They've played good defense. Alabama hasn't. Georgia did a couple of games, but nope, not last week.
I mean, again,
Clemson played decent.
Are you going to get upset with Georgia for allowing probably the best?
No. It's got nothing to do with them. It's that. Why are we taking unders anymore? Like, I don't know. I'm out. I'm out on the unders.
If you don't take unders, you're basically losing out on any potential edge that you have on a side. So
I know. Last week, every game went over. Every game went over. I think the BC game went under at 8 o'clock at night. But like, it was just every time I looked, I'm like, can anybody play defense anymore?
I don't know. I took two overs last week. They both went under. So I mean, I don't know.
I took two unders last week and they both went over.
So there you go.
NC State, North Carolina. All right. None of these over. Over. No, this is not going under. This one's going over. These two teams, all they do is score points. Actually, who's playing quarterback for NC State? You know who their quarterback got hurt?
Yeah, he is out for the season, it sounds
like. Oh, my God, dude. He took a cheap targeting. Actually, he got hurt. Yeah, you're right. It was his leg. Yeah, but he took a targeting play. And now they have that stupid lefty from Florida State who was there last year.
You're talking about Hockman?
He's not good. I'm sorry, he's not good.
Hockman? Oh, he was really good. The opening game of the season, he played.
No. I watched him play last week. He had that one nice little touchdown. I watched that whole game because I had NC State -4.
Hockman was very good versus Wake Forest. I
just didn't like him at Florida State is my point.
Yeah, again, but North Carolina loses outright to Florida State last week. Should they be laying 16 to fucking anybody?
Not now. Dude, now after you lose to Florida State, dude, that's letdown city against your hometown rival. Yes. We have awful bets. But listen to our insight. You know what I mean? I try not to look at the comments anymore, Dan. We're here for the insights. And I appreciate everybody that listens every week and likes us. You know, we can't pick them all right. Unfortunately, I wish I had that magic, that crystal ball. We did. We used to have that crystal ball. The magic will be back. I'm telling you.
That was the first 6 weeks last year.
Stick with it. Stick with it. We go with it. But it's like, you know, you can take our pick and you can go against it. It's we encourage it. You know what I mean? Like, if you think we suck at picking winners, you can go against it. Thank you. I don't force you to put your money on the picks. I'm sorry. I saw some new guy in there and I wanted to yell at
him. I think he was saying that totals taking the over or the under is just awful. But I don't know. I don't know.
Totals are. I'm sorry. I'll take that back. My fault for ranting.
Yeah, it's okay.
But it is true. You can't. If I tell you I like Coastal Carolina, you'd be like, Joe likes Coastal Carolina. Let's go the other way. Right? I mean, fuck it. At this point, what you got to do? Your money. You got to do with it. You got to do what you got to do with it.
Yeah, I do think this is a bounce back for UNC. This again, Florida State was they overlooked Florida State. They were coming off the Virginia Tech, an emotional win on the road at Florida State. They overlooked them, looking at to a in-state rival. So you know, whatever. I do think that this is going to be a game where North Carolina bounces back, and NC State with Hockman may be a little bit disappointing. I think you're going to see a lot of people at NC State.
So that's how I feel. I feel like this would have been an over game. It opened at 64.5. It's now down to 60. I don't think Hockman's the kind of guy that's going to, you know, go up-tempo the whole game they have a decent running game. I watched NC State last week. The defense isn't bad. They got a number 8 kid who's really good at running back. Overall, though, they're well coached. That's why, you watch NC State, and it's like, all right, I get it. You know, they're well coached. They play good defense. That kid who got hurt was a really good quarterback, though. He looked like he was going to be something.
Yeah, I mean, Leary has been really good this year. He wasn't super great against Duke, which I was kind of surprised about. But, I mean, just in general, NC State covered that game, and they won going away. And I think you're talking about Ricky Person, who is the running back for NC State.
Yeah, he's good. I think he came up limp at the end of the game. But
I don't know.
Yeah. Florida State plays at Louisville, two of the most disappointing teams in the world.
I think maybe the two most disappointing teams this year.
I mean, who's more disappointing, Florida State or Louisville?
I'm gonna
say Louisville.
I agree. I think Florida State coming into the year, we kind of talked about how bad their offensive line was, and they were going to get caught multiple times and yada, yada. Last week was a really good win. It's definitely the best win that either team has had. I don't think that's arguable. But Louisville, Mikhail Cunningham, whatever, Michael Cunningham, whatever the fuck you want to call him. Okay, Cunningham was, touted to be a potential Heisman candidate. He's been anything but. You lose to Pittsburgh, score 20 points there. Lose to Miami, which I can understand that. And then score a touchdown against Notre Dame. You allow 12 points. Your defense finally steps up. And then you only score a touchdown. Just embarrassing. I will say, though, if Louisville is going to have a bounce back game, this is it. Because Florida State is coming off that win at UNC. This is going to be the grossest pick I have all week. But PP, give it to me. PP, Louisville -5. I am taking the bait. I am taking the cheese. And I am going with Louisville. I think Louisville is a touchdown better than Florida State. And I coming off that win last week, I feel good about Louisville. But just their defense finally plays well. And they can't score versus Notre Dame. Like, come the fuck on. They should have won that game last week. They should have won that game.
I hate the number 5. All I'll tell you is the over's gone over 5 of the last 6 between the two teams. All right, let's square it up. Square, 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 square. Auburn at Ole Miss. Auburn's -3, 3.5 on the road.
It's, yeah, 3.5.
Now, Ole Miss, I thought, was very disappointing against Arkansas.
5 red zone trips, 0 points.
They wanted to go to the backup a couple of times, and they didn't. They stuck with Corrali or whatever the fuck his name is. Auburn's just not that good, guys. They're just not. I don't know if it's Bo Nix, but Auburn's not that good. So this game, I wouldn't touch. I know you're going to look at it and say, well, Auburn, you know, they should win. Auburn should win this game. But I don't trust them on the road. I don't trust them in general. And I don't know. I just feel like Ole Miss at home might get that juju back. Not betting this game. Fucking out on Auburn. They're on the list. Out.
Back-to-back roadies for a Power 5 team. Again, it's hard to kind of ride that trend, Joe, because there's no fans. So it's very different. Road games are very different this year. That being said, you know, Auburn really probably should be 1-3. And you can make the argument to me, and I'll listen to you, that they should be 0-4. I mean, SEC gifted them the victory against Arkansas. And versus Kentucky, you know how I feel about that game. We've discussed it plenty, so I'm not going to go into it, okay? You can make the argument that they should be 1-3 or 0-4. Ole Miss, I mean, at least they have a quality win against Kentucky, and I felt when it was a really good game on the road. I don't know. I think these two teams are pretty evenly matched. I don't know what to expect from this one, Joe. I just don't want to be on Ole Miss knowing that this is the week that Auburn finally gets right and Auburn, you know, blows doors. I just that is my concern.
Yeah, I wouldn't want to be on the wrong side of that, Auburn.
Yeah. And so I'm going to stay away from that one.
Here's another one that I'm a little torn on. Oklahoma's at TCU. Now, TCU's 0-2 at home this year. They're welcoming Oklahoma. Oklahoma's off the Red River Shootout. The line's 6.5. And I can just literally see TCU playing better. Now, Oklahoma snuck this win out, if you remember, a year ago, 28-24. The teams always play tough. The Oklahoma offense isn't as good as we think they are. I think the quarterback's pretty good. But
I think the exact opposite. I think he sucks.
Oh, I think he's better than, like, Bo Nix, though.
Well, I mean, that's not exactly the toughest line. Yeah, I mean, I agree with Sanders, but he just makes too many mistakes, man. He's young. He's kind of reckless with the football.
Duggan had a big game last year against Oklahoma. Duggan, whatever. I can't do it. I can't touch. I want Oklahoma in this game. Like, I want Oklahoma to go in there, like, beat their ass, be the Big 12 guys, and, you know, I don't think they can do it. I don't think they're strong enough. I don't. So I'm off this game. But I want Oklahoma to be that team that wins by seven. The only thing with me, like, I don't know. TCU, dude, is they've only really played three games, so, like, I don't know how much we've seen of them. Like, between Kansas State and TCU, I like Kansas State, right? But I don't know. I want to take Oklahoma. I don't trust it.
Yeah, the line opened at seven. The line opened at seven. It's now at six or six and a half most places. Look, TCU last year got fucked on the fourth and one. They got past the first. They stopped Oklahoma past the first before the fourth down marker. The refs made a terrible spot call. They reviewed it, said it was, you know, they couldn't overturn it. TCU got fucked. Oklahoma went on the score, won the game. Game over. Okay. So first off, this is a potential Gary Patterson kind of, you know, he's probably pissed. If TCU or Oklahoma, if this game was played a week ago, if this game was played last week, I like TCU. Oklahoma coming off an emotional win in the Red River Shootout. TCU has coming off a bye. Now we're kind of reversed here. Oklahoma's coming off the bye, and TCU, you know, kind of lost and didn't play super well versus Kansas State. Maybe it was a potential lookout for TCU. I think this is a scary game in terms of trying to choose a side. I know you're going to hate this, Joe, but I would look under if you really, really want to play something in this one. I do. I think that you're going to see turnovers. Yeah. You know,
this is going to be a nasty, grinded out game. Yeah, I can see like another 28-24 type game.
Yeah, exactly. And so, you know, the total is 60. I would lean under. I'm not going to play it. This is me telling you I am not going to play it. But, I mean, if you're making me pick something, I'm taking the under. I think a side in this one's super hard, especially without that seven. And it feels like they're baiting you to take that Oklahoma six and a half, seven, six.
I'm looking at that, too. Kansas at Kansas State, you would think an in-state rivalry. Oh, yeah, it's there. It's not between these two teams. Kansas State won big last year and covered. Les Miles, I believe, is going to coach this week. But 20 seems like a lot. Kansas has been one of the worst teams to watch. Again, I think Kansas State's pretty good. 20 points seems like a lot to me. I think Kansas State wins. But I just there's nothing for me to back Kansas this week.
Kansas backdoored West Virginia on a kick return touchdown last week, which, I mean, really, you know, fucked a lot of people because a lot of people were on West Virginia. Kansas State, Skylar Thompson out for the season, as well as Puka Williams. He is gone for Kansas. So, you know, we're looking at some injury-riddled teams here. Kansas State, they're, you know, what are they going to do at quarterback exactly? You know, are you going to – that's kind of my concern is, you know, the kid Howard who started for them last week was really not good. Now, he was able to run a little bit versus TCU. I think Kansas will be a little bit better prepared knowing that he's kind of coming into this week and having their, you know, a little bit of tape on him. I don't want to side. It's just, I can't lay Kansas State without Skylar Thompson. I can't lay 20 without the quarterback on the other side. Can't do it.
Ohio State, Nebraska. I bet this game last year. Nebraska got smoked 48-7. It's 28. The only thing, dude, call me crazy. But Nebraska was one of the teams that really tried to bring football back this year.
Both of them did. I thought Ohio State and Nebraska and the Big Ten were the two teams in the Big Ten that wanted football.
So that's where I'm going, Dan. Could Ohio State let up a little bit because of the respect factor?
I mean, that's certainly an angle I had not considered.
Like, could they be up 34 and, like...
I mean, let's not forget that happened last year against FAU. They were up, like, in a flash, like 21-0 in the first quarter, and then FAU caught up, and, you know, FAU ended up covering the first week against Ohio State. It's 26, Joe. It's surprising that it's not 28 and or not 27, and it's surprising that we're not getting that round 28 here. You know, it opened at 25.5. It's up to 26. I don't really want a side in this one, but I don't hate your angle in that one, Joe. I don't. I don't. I think that's kind of an outside of the box way to look at it, and I think that this is a game I would like to bet second half. That would be the way I would approach this game because I think laying 26 points with Ohio State is just a hell of a lot. It's a hell of a lot.
All right, and then one more noon game. Yeah. UTEP at Charlotte. Charlotte's minus 14. They're 1-2, but they are 3-0 against the spread.
Yeah, I mean – Charlotte's been a really good cover team this year. They've only played three games. They've had three games postponed or canceled so far, including last week's game versus FIU. Both teams coming off a bye because, you know, UTEP didn't play last week either because their Southern Miss game got postponed. This is a game I am going to kind of bow out of. I feel like Charlotte is the side at 14, 14 and a half, 15. It's kind of all over the board right now. But I am not going to be the guy to lay those points with Charlotte, still not knowing the COVID situation. So,
hey, with Ohio State, someone mentions, do they need style points this year with a short schedule?
No.
Yeah, see, I don't either. If this was the old format, BCS, yes.
Right.
Yeah, I'd absolutely agree. They just need to win the Big Ten, and I think they're in, dude.
I mean, really, all they need to do is they need to beat Penn State, they need to beat Michigan, they need to win the Big Ten championship. Even outside of that, this is going to be a season that isn't judged so much on style, especially for teams in the Big Ten. And
let's not forget, like, Minnesota. Big Ten was hot last year. Wisconsin was a good team. Well, all I'm trying to say is if Ohio State wins, I think their wins are better than – Clemson's still the best team, don't get me wrong, but, you know, Miami, Notre Dame, like, I know North Carolina was supposed to be good, they're not. So it's like, you know, those are going to be Clemson's body of work, where, like, the Big Ten's going to show its body of work, and I just think winning it just puts them in that spot.
I don't think you're going to need style points unless you lose. Unless you lose. If you lose a game in your Ohio State, then you need style points.
Now, that happened to Oklahoma years ago, right? Like, right. With the Baker Mayfield team. They ended up putting – was it Baker? Oh, I forget. One of the quarterbacks there. But, yeah, I agree with you there. All right, so the noon games are done.
We have one more.
What's that?
We have one more. Rutgers, Michigan State. Jesus. It's maybe the worst game on the schedule.
God. Well, Brian Lewerke's gone.
So Michigan State is bad. They're laying 13.5 at home to Rutgers. How bad is Rutgers? I mean,
new coach.
Yeah, it's Mr. Schiano. I mean,
so dude, the under is 6-1 in the last seven meetings. Ooh, Greg Schiano's back.
Yeah.
Ooh.
The total in this one opened at 47 and is now down to 44.5. This could be the ugliest game of football that we see. I'm telling you, there are going to be so many people that take Rutgers points on the money line in this one. Everyone's going to be on Rutgers. I think Michigan State wins like 21-3 or some bullshit. Like, this is going to be disgusting. I think Michigan State covers. I think Michigan State goes under. This is a total I like, and I may add on. If this goes up a little bit, I don't like the 44.5. I need at least a 45 as a key number there. If I can get a little bit higher total, maybe I'll revisit this one on Saturday.
27-0 last year. They shut them out.
That's what I could see that happening again. Michigan State sucked last year. Rutgers sucked last year. There's no like talent disparity. You know, the talent hasn't rapidly changed. I know Michigan State lost a quarterback. So, you know, you were looking, this is going to be the grossest game of 12 by far.
You.
Yes.
Gross. Okay. Well, there's a lot of games, people. We got to just go. We got to keep going.
Yep.
Whatever. Liberty. I watched them last week. They're good. I watched them on some bunk ACC feed.
Are they good, or is Syracuse just the worst team?
Well, that's a good question. But I mean, is Southern Miss good?
Does Syracuse suck and blow? I don't know about Southern Miss. Southern Miss, again, they have one win and they got absolutely demolished by Tulane. They at least have a win against, you know, North Texas. They put up 41. They haven't played in a couple weeks. This is a weird game, dude. I know that Liberty was 10 the other day, and I'll tell you this, RAS released the total under 63 earlier today. It's down to 60.5. That group has legit sharp movement to their name, in case you didn't know that.
Nah, I'm not betting that one.
Nope. Liberty's up to 13 now, by the way. It literally just moved in front of my eyes.
I saw that, 10 to 13. Tulane, Central Florida, UCF, you stink. You stink. You stink. You stink. You stink. You stink. Ah, you stink. Tulane will keep it. Keep the distance here. I think they'll. You stink, UCF. You know that? You had a huge ass lead. You stink, and then your kicker, he stinks too. That's why I bet the money line. Damn it. Because I knew they would die. I knew it. They stink. They stink.
I don't know, man. The UCF team is disappointing. That Memphis loss was disappointing.
Does Heupel need to go somewhere else? Does Heupel need to go to like what else can he prove at UCF? Right? He's not a defensive coach. So he, like, if he goes to Miami, right, and you just let Manny Diaz run the defense and let him run the offense, could they be better?
No.
UCF, man, they're so good. They suck at defense. Why?
I mean, listen, Dylan Gabriel, 601 yards.
Otis Anderson Jr. fumbled on the goal line to go up 24.
They had three receivers over 170 yards.
How did they lose the game, dude?
You should win the game. They were the better team. Brady White was really good that game. You got to give him credit there, Joe. He almost had 500 yards passing and six touchdowns.
UCF's. I'll never get over that loss ever. Next year, Memphis UCF again. I will never get over this loss.
I mean,
this year that will just. I even bet the money line. Because I knew it was going to happen. And they still had a chance to win.
I think they were up 36 to 14 at one point. Or
they were going in for like a...
Yeah. It was bad. I thought UCF was the better of the two teams. I did. I don't disagree with you.
You mentioned they lose the fucking... Blah!
This week, moving on to the Tulane game, Joe. Tulane's quarterback, Michael Pratt, I watched some of this game earlier this week, okay, just kind of on a replay. Pratt is a true freshman.
I watched him last week.
He's going to be good. He's going to be good, dude. I think that was Thursday night or Friday night game, Joe?
Friday night.
Okay. That kid's going to be good.
SMU didn't cover. It went over the total.
I told you I like Tulane. I said I thought, you know, the favorite to take was BYU. We did get that one right, but you know, we didn't PP or whatever. But I was on a little Tulane action in the second half. I think 19 is a lot. I think UCF is going to be fucking pissed, dude. This has got to be a rebound game. I'm not taking it. I refuse to do it. 20 points is a fuckload. I'm not laying it.
No, they're going to go up 31-0, and Tulane's going to come back with fucking three touchdowns.
It could.
They're going to win by 17. and I'm going to go for two and miss.
Yeah, this feels like it's going to be resentment for a while. UCF is your team, too.
So was in Memphis. I got a new team now, Coastal Carolina.
I know.
I got a new team now. Marshall, my other favorite team. Them and BYU, they're my teams for the New Year's Six. They're 17-point favorites against FAU. FAU's played one game. Last year, I remember this game in particular. 36-31 shootout. Marshall came back to win. Two touchdowns I like, Dan. 17? But FAU's played nobody, FAU. And Marshall's defense is really good.
I mean, yeah, they played Charlotte. I mean, Charlotte's not trash. Let's give FAU a little bit of credit for that win. I think that was a pretty solid win. They were down all game. They came back. They found a way to pull that one out of their ass, and they won that game. So I was kind of impressed. 17 is a lot for Marshall, dude. It's a lot. Again, you have a true freshman at quarterback. Like, you know, yeah. I don't know. I think I'm going to stay away from this game. I think that just Florida Atlantic is unknown still. What I'm going to stay away.
Notre Dame, Pittsburgh. What Notre Dame team do you get? Now, I said teams stink on defense. Notre Dame's not bad. They have 1 week they score, the next week they don't. Last week they didn't score, so maybe they score this week. Last year, this 2 years ago, sorry, this game, 19-14.
The total reflects that, Joe. It's down to 43.
Yeah, I Notre Dame wins. Do they cover by double digits?
Remember, Pittsburgh is likely. We haven't heard anything. I'm looking for updates. I have not seen shit about Kenny Pickett this week.
Yeah, I just don't think Pitt's a good against the spread. And I think 43 is the total, huh? Wolf.
Yeah, I mean it's a real low total. Let's see. Here's the update we have. Pitt, there hasn't been a real update on Kenny Pickett this week, but the article describes Joey Yellen as the Panthers' starting quarterback for the foreseeable future with Kenny Pickett out. So interpret that how you wish. That's pretty much the description on the quarterback situation for Pitt. If they don't have Pickett, I can't back them. I can't do it. And again, I'm not out here, you know, running to the hills to back Notre Dame, but I'm looking at, again, another under. Not at 43, though. That's too fucking low. I need that to come back up a couple points a little bit, which, you know, it doesn't seem like it's going to.
Circling this one, it's hard for me not to take Notre Dame on the spot. But
I got to say, it almost feels like Notre Dame's not a terrible tease spot. 2.5, just saying. I don't know.
Circle that one. All right, Houston Navy. We've talked a lot of trash about Navy and they covered. I watched Houston last week. Forget about what the score was or anything. They have fucking players. Like, yep. You see the size of the tight end, the defensive tackles. Like, they're like, the talent that they have is, like, out of control. And I just I think back to that BYU-Navy game earlier this year, and how are they going to push around that Houston defense? I can't see it happening. To me, Dan, I think this is a Houston game. But they did lose in bad style to BYU. Like, how do they feel about it? Do they want to go play, like, a Navy offense after just losing a big game? Toon has to bounce back. He did look good at times. But I just – the Houston team was so physical. I just – it's hard for me to think that they're going to get pushed around by Navy.
I totally agree with you. Houston – dude, that Holgorsen team is fucking talented. And Toon, when he is in the game – he is really, really good. I mean, he plays next level. When Toon is off, the whole team is off, and that's what happened in that fourth quarter against BYU. I didn't end up watching that fourth quarter live. I went back and rewatched it. When Clayton Toon is not – they have three and out, three and out, three and out. That team's done. I mean, that's it. They're done because their defense gets gassed quickly. They don't have the stamina. They're out. Against Navy, though, you know what you're expecting here. Navy lost their quarterback last week mid-game. I haven't seen an update on that one. I'll continue to look there.
The backup's actually decent.
He was pretty good.
But, dude, Navy won this game 56-41 last year.
Yeah, I think this is definitely...
And Navy's defense is, like, in the top 10 this year, I read. Where did I read this?
I mean, they gave up 23 to ECU and a freshman quarterback who had never played a single snap last week.
I know.
So, I mean, and then they gave up 29 to Temple, who we just saw get rolled, you know.
Sorry.
USF put a bunch of points on.
Sixth fewest passing yards in football.
Okay, all right. That makes sense. They have some good corners. I agree with that. I still think Houston's going to challenge them. This is absolutely a Houston or nothing for me spread. That's it. I'm not taking Navy. I'm not doing it. I refuse to. This is Houston or nothing. It's at 15, which to me, you missed the best numbers on Houston. It opened at 12. It's already up to 15. At this point, I don't feel like there's value. It's a bettable angle or anything like that. I'm just saying, if you're making a choice between this game, it's Houston or nothing. I'm not taking either side, but that would be the way I would have to go.
Hendon Hooker, quarterback, Virginia Tech's been very good.
What he plays?
Running game, very good. They take on Wake Forest. V-Tech won last year 36-17. It's weird. They're now going on the road against the Wake Forest team that's starting to get a little high. I've watched Wake. I'm not impressed. I like Virginia Tech. It's just it's 8.5 now, and I'm
ACC. It's 9 now.
9, okay. I like Virginia Tech to win this game. I'm weary of the number, especially on the road. And Wake Forest can score fast. I think Virginia Tech is the better running game. Better quarterback. I don't know.
Yes. Hooker is better than Hartman. Hartman can get wild at times.
Hartman scores fast, though.
He does. I think this is a potential backdoor game. Like, if you're asking me to choose a game this week, where could a team get backdoored? Yes, this is the team. I think this is a game where you could look at it and say, you know, they're up by 14 or 10 or some shit, and Wake Forest gets backdoored. No, I went 4-4 last week, not 2-4. You're incorrect on that, Jimmy. Good try though. Yeah, so I think this is a game that you absolutely can get backdoored.
Weary? Okay. Here's another one. I like Iowa State this week. Now, I don't know who's quarterback of Oklahoma State. I heard it's Sanders. Maybe it's not. But Iowa State's taking care of business in their conference. They have a chance to go, what, 4-0, 5-0? 4-0 if they beat Oklahoma State.
Joe, hold on. I just want to answer this, asshole. Okay. Last week, here are the PPs I gave out. I gave out Kentucky +6, Syracuse +3, Mississippi State +5.5, and Ole Miss over 76. I gave out Navy -2.5, okay? So those are 2 and 3. Then I gave out the Steelers, okay, that one as well. I don't know what else to tell you.
Oh, I did bad. I gave you
Jesus Christ.
I gave you Clemson, UCF.
Why do I have to do this?
I don't know who else did I have? Oh, I had the over in Mississippi State. I had the over in the Pittsburgh game, which didn't happen. I had the boxing match that under 10 that didn't happen.
Every fucking week.
So, like, if you want to buzz balls, dude, I had one win last week.
Yeah, Jesus.
I had one win last week.
Again, Kentucky.
I suck.
Kentucky.
I suck.
I don't want to do this. Kentucky.
The guy just wants to buzz balls, but I know. I suck. I suck.
Kentucky, Navy, South Carolina, second half, which I gave out, and the Steelers. What else would you like? There you go.
I don't know. His last name is Stain. Stainer. Him.
Fuck off.
Remember the movie Stainer? Yeah. It was the She's Out of My League, the hot blonde girl.
Yeah, that's a great movie.
They played like hockey in the basement. That girl was fucking hot. Whatever happened to her? Anybody remember that movie?
What was she in? She was in something else after that.
She like came out like to the house and everyone's in the pool. And
oh, you're talking about Alice Eve.
I think so. And then they're like, oh, why don't you, you know, just come in your underwear? And she goes, oh, that'd be yes. fine if I was wearing it.
Yeah, you're talking about Alice
Eve. And I was like, oh, damn. Yeah, anyways. I suck at picks lately. I suck. Anything I post online, fade it. I had Blake Snell under strikeouts last night.
Jesus Christ.
Okay, how'd that one work out, everybody?
Right now, this is the worst stretch.
Sorry to get off track, people. We have a schedule to keep, God damn it.
Okay, let's get back.
Dufresne, I'll thump you if you're not dead or sick. All right, that was a reference. Baylor, Texas. Hook 'em horns. Off a loss. Baylor hasn't played in forever. Ooh, how do I feel about I like ooh, 9 points, huh? I can't trust Texas. I just can't. I'm out on this one, Dan.
Fair enough.
That's right, Coastal Carolina.
It opened 10.5. I got Baylor at 10.5 when it opened earlier. It opened. I can open at 11. I got 10.5. Down to 8.5. I do not recommend taking the 8.5. I don't think there's legitimate value there. I think you've missed the best number at this point. I think you need that 10. I think you need 10 in this game to feel comfortable taking Baylor. Especially this week, I know that there's going to be a ton
of recruits at this game. That's what I'm saying. Recruits,
this is going to be a sharp versus public type game. This is going to be the sharp sub Baylor, the public on Texas. That's what's going to happen here.
Baylor won this game last year easily.
Yeah,
it was kind of a shocker, actually.
Yeah. So, but yeah. Anyways, that's what I'll tell you. I think that they're going to see the sharp action on Baylor. You might get it back to 9 and hopefully a 9.5. Maybe if you want to buy it to 10, I don't recommend doing that. But, I think that this is going to be a really, really, really important game to kind of see what the fuck Texas is and what exactly is Baylor. We have two games under their belt. What do we know about this team kind of moving forward? You know what I mean? Like, They have a win against Kansas and they lost to West Virginia in a game I thought they kind of got fucked on, even though I went back and forth with one of our guys last week and he said they didn't get fucked. I was like, they had like three scores taken away for penalty or some ridiculous shit. It was one of the worst ref games I've ever seen. Nonetheless, Texas, two bad losses in a row. TCU and Oklahoma, their wins are UTEP and Texas Tech. And they had a comeback against Texas Tech. Doesn't feel like Tom Herman's going to have a job after this year. And they're looking ahead next week to Oklahoma State. This is a bad spot. Bad spot, Texas. If you can find a 10, I'd take it. That's all I feel about it.
Big 10, Penn State at Indiana. This is going to be a good one. So Penn State, if you remember, had that touchdown at the end of the game to win. Sean Clifford threw it at the end. Indiana was like was hanging in there all game long. They're bringing back Clifford. They got that big tight end from here. What's his name? Freiermuth. He's back. They lost their running back. He got hurt a couple of weeks ago.
He's out for the season.
What's his fucking name? Journey Brown. He's out. And then their big linebacker opted out, Parsons. So, but Penn State's still going to be a wagon. Indiana went 8-5 last year, and they're starting that kid. Penix?
Michael Penix.
Michael Penix. Thank you. He was nasty. He got hurt last year, but he's nasty. Had 10 touchdowns. He's good. I think the Penn State defense should be able to control him. The line is 5. So they're definitely respecting Indiana here. I just don't trust Indiana against a top 25 ranked team. The question is, can they cover? Is Penn State going to cover this game? I don't know, Dan. Just based off everything happening with the pandemic, I don't know what Indiana's done. I'm pretty sure Penn State stayed. I don't know. I don't want to like go big school versus, you know, whatever school, but I feel like Penn State has the talent if we're really matching these two up.
Okay. Just going to say this one more time. Jimmy, I gave out Navy and Carolina, South Carolina second half on Twitter. So that's 4-4. Kentucky, Steelers, maybe South Carolina second half. I know.
No. I actually want Tom Scott to go fuck off. He took Navy. Dude, go fucking do something else.
Jesus.
I went one and five, dude. Go fuck, stop fucking with Dan. I went 1-5. Fuck you. Go ahead. Let's keep going. Michael right. Penix.
Yeah, so I mean Penix was at times last year pretty decent. They didn't play him all the time because he got hurt. And so I really don't know what to, you know, kind of say about that. If he can stay healthy, Indiana should be pretty good again this year. They have talent. They're a pretty good, you know, team. I think they were flexing the spread. 6.5 is what it is. It's down to 5.5 now. This is absolutely sharp. I mean, Indiana was 7.5 to open. There were some spots that opened 7.5. Looked like five dimes, which I know, you know, the United States can't use anymore, but you can still use the sister sites or whatever. So, I don't know what to tell you about that, but you can still use Bet Any Sports and, you know, VFBet and all that other stuff. Okay. Anyways, nonetheless, I think this is going to be a potential spot. Penn State, without the running back, they lost their offensive coordinator, who went back to Fresno State, who I think last year, was a major reason that Fresno State could not move the fucking ball. And now he's kind of gone to Fresno State. Penn State loses that guy. What is Penn State going to be? This has upset potential. It really does. In Bloomington, Indiana, to start off the year for Penn State, look the fuck out. I'm not taking Indiana. I'm just saying I do not want to be on Penn State's side. And that's saying I like Sean Clifford. I think he's a very capable quarterback, probably underrated. But just I feel Penn State, we do this every year with that team. They're overrated every fucking year. And Indiana, pretty underrated.
I think if we're talking on the rise, Indiana.
Agreed.
If we're talking talent, it's Penn State. And with the pandemic and everything happening right now, I think Penn State has a tight end quarterback combo that's very good. They have a couple of losses on defense. Anything can happen with a quarterback that's – this kid Penix, I'm telling you, is pretty good. It sucked that he got hurt last year.
Again, if he stays healthy, he's super talented.
Yeah, so. I mean, dude, they had – what's his name there? Go get drafted from Indiana a couple of years ago, who started in the NFL for a little bit. I forget his name. But what I mean is they do produce decent quarterbacks. Mid-Tennessee State got a win last week. They play Rice. Rice's first game of the year. Oof. Rice is 3.5.
So Rice has had like 40 different games canceled this year. Finally. Oh, boy. Fingers crossed. And yes, Jim, we account Twitter plays. We started putting plays on Twitter. Jesus Christ. Why don't
I'm going to – let's just stop addressing this guy. All right, and I'm going to just say this right now. We do a podcast here, and then on Saturday mornings we do a podcast live on the air, 7 to 9. If you woke up and listened, you'd probably get more insight or more picks as well. And then we tweet out plays. So for those who follow us, like the other people besides that guy, they'll be able to authenticate what we're talking about. We're not sitting here telling you we're the greatest pickers. It's just that you did pick Navy. I saw it with my own eyes. I saw it. I can email, if you'd like, Jimmy, I can email you the picks if you'd like to see them. Do you want us to put them on a spreadsheet for you? Dude, my second half, I just told you I went 1-5. I suck. What do you want from me? I tell you I suck and you want to bust my balls? I suck. I suck.
All right,
I suck.
This
is that what he wants? Ooh, you want me to fucking stop the show because of Jimmy? I suck.
This kid's a fucking twat. Let him go fuck himself.
What I'm trying to say though is for everybody else that's in this chat, they know what we do. They know when we win, they know when we lose. Yes, thank you. Go fucking troll somebody else. Go troll somebody else. I don't know what else to tell you here. We're giving you insight. It's your decision to make a pick. We're just giving you ours. If it sucks, fade it. All right, let's move on. I don't know how. I mean, I literally write fade or follow. Fade or follow.
Oh, God. Man, it's fun.
I don't know how. I mean, literally, like, I don't know. What were you fucking like? Oh, what were you, we got the fucking police out here? Oh, you got to pick wrong. You suck. Oh, you deserve to die. I don't give a fuck if I lose a pick. I'm on to the next one. You know what I mean? I lose. I go on to the next one. I lose. I go to the next one.
God, I love the Joe rants. I did.
Where the fuck is Nick Jamelli to admin this bullshit?
Oh, it's fucking Jamelli.
Where were we?
All right. Let's do the MTSU game.
Mid-Tennessee State. Rice had to beg Mid-Tennessee State to play this game.
I mean, they haven't played a fucking game all year. So everyone's going to be on Rice. I think they're all – I think we're going to see a lot of people following that trend a couple weeks ago of teams that haven't played end up, you know, I think there were something like 70 fucking percent or ridiculous. You know, something ridiculous on that, you know, teams that have not played versus a team that has, right? I'm pretty much going to say this. Mid-Tennessee State has kind of put it together offensively a little bit. Like, I know that's kind of scary. 35 points versus North Texas, 31 versus Florida International League before. They're starting to get a little bit of momentum there. I don't really know what we can expect from Rice. You know, what are we going to do? I'm not really fucking sure what we're going to see from this Rice team. And so I'm kind of worried that, you know, Rice comes out and lays a clunker, kind of reverts a little bit back to what they used to be. To me, I'm staying the fuck away from both from this entire game because I want to see what Rice is. I really do. So we'll see. We'll see what that game is. Joe, let's do.
Come on, Kentucky at Missouri. Oh no, we got one more 3:30.
Okay,
yeah, Iowa Purdue. Oh, we got two more 3:30.
We have a couple more 3:30s. All right, let's finish off 3:30 and then we'll.
Let's wait on Iowa Purdue. Alabama goes to Tennessee. Ooh.
Joe, let me ask you, is there any upset potential here?
No.
Because Guantanamo Bay is not facing a good defense this week.
Last year it was 35-13. No upset special.
Okay. Fair enough.
Looking at that 66 number, seems high.
I mean, Al, do you want to take an under on Alabama? Dude, I can't.
I mean, I'm just not sure if Tennessee scores.
I think Tennessee will score. I think that they put up – I mean, they put up 21 against Georgia. They put up 35 versus Missouri and 31 versus South Carolina. I'd argue Missouri has a better defense than Bama, potentially. Like, you know – I'm not calling for the upset here. I'm just saying I think this is going to be a closer game than we think because Bama's coming off the Georgia game. You know, they were probably looking ahead from Kentucky to this week, which I think they got absolutely shellacked last week, which is why I was on Kentucky. I think that this is going to be a potential spot where Bama doesn't take them super seriously. Tennessee ends up, you know, losing by 10. It's a good loss for Tennessee. Bama escapes the win on the road, and, you know, we see some points, and Mac Jones puts up like four or five touchdowns. You know, that's the kind of game I'm expecting to see in this one. I do think there's a legitimate chance that Tennessee finds a way to cover, and I also would not be shocked if Guantanamo Bay pulls another fucking pick six or some shit late in the game.
I think they're going with the other kid.
Are they really? Because I thought that because he went back into the game. He was back in the game last week, as kind of everything was going on. I'll take a look and see what I can find here. I have not seen an update on everything because I know that Maurer said that he got hurt. I know Guantanamo Bay apparently was a little beat up, but they both practiced, and Guantanamo Bay took the first team reps. So we'll see what happens there, I guess.
Okay. We're gonna have to get to the pick soon for the college game.
Yep.
I had to put myself in timeout. I'm sorry. I had to put myself in timeout, everybody. One more. Iowa goes to Purdue. Normally I'm a Purdue kind of guy. I used to like him a lot. Iowa won this game 26-20 last year in a completely different team, right? Purdue's now Jeff Brohm. He's not going to be there. I think he got COVID. Brian Brohm is going to be the head coach. Remember him? Quarterback Louisville? So the Purdue offense is who's going to be the old quarterback there? Jack Plummer, supposedly. Or our boy from Channel 4, Steve Burton's kid, Austin, is now the backup at Iowa.
He transferred, right?
From UCLA.
I've heard Aiden O'Connell's the other kid getting a little.
There you go. I'm going with Burton. But anyway, it's just because I like him.
Jack Plummer was good last year. Well, let's be fair and let's be super fair. Jack Plummer was good last year.
So I thought the Purdue offense was on the rise. Sorry, he went to Purdue. I didn't mean Iowa. Purdue. I screwed them up. Colors. I did that the other day with somebody too. Missouri and Iowa. I get fucking colors really mixed up. Kirk Ferentz is at Iowa. The other guy's at Purdue. Oh, man, and I screwed that up big time. It's fucking colors. Anyways. Ugly-ass game, Dan. I'm sorry. Ugly game.
I expect Plummer to start for Purdue. Shout out to Steve Burton. Love him. Big fan. His kid, I hope, is really good. I expect Purdue probably goes to Plummer. He helped them last year. Purdue has Rondell Moore. I mean, he is probably a top 2 to 3 wide receiver in the country. He's playing this year, Joe. He was hurt all last year. He's back for Purdue. This is a really interesting game because I don't know what you're going to get from the Iowa offense this year. I just don't know. I don't know. I don't know who they're going to go with at quarterback. They're super inexperienced. They have a couple of freshmen, a couple of sophomores. From what I heard, Alex Padilla was the guy being mentioned, but they had not confirmed a quarterback, for at least the starting. I believe they did not commit. Spencer Petras is the guy who's listed as the starter, but he also has not been confirmed. So I don't know. I don't know, who it's going to be. If it's Petras, who I guess we have a little bit of background into, he's a big kid. He's a fucking big kid. 6'5", 230, stands in the pocket, downfield thrower. Okay, he's fucking big. Iowa brings in good talents. This is a scary spot, in my opinion. Just opening the season on the road with, I think it's probably an underrated team in the Big Ten. Hey. I think this could be an issue for Iowa. The spread's 3. There's a reason for that. We're going to find out what happens here. But Purdue and Rondell Moore, that is a good team.
Okay. We got the 3:30, 4 o'clock, sorry. Kentucky goes to Missouri. It's Kentucky or nothing for me, the way they've been playing, their hot streak. 5.5 on the road. I like it. They won this matchup last year 29-7. Missouri turns the football over way too much, but they are 2-0 against the spread at home, 1-2 on the season. I like Kentucky in the spot. I think their defense is playing better. I think Wilson's getting better every single week. I like Kentucky here. Even though it is the SEC road game, I still like Kentucky.
I refuse to back Kentucky in this spot. Refuse to. It's not because Missouri is bad, because they're – sorry, not because Missouri is good, because they're not. I just – Kentucky is facing Georgia next week. Missouri is facing Florida next week. Both these teams are looking ahead to the schedule. Both these teams are probably going to suck. I don't know. I'm passing. Kentucky was really good play last week. This is going to be an emotional win coming off of that. I'm not jumping on the Kentucky train this week. I think you got to know when to jump on that train and when to jump off.
So. Georgia State goes to Troy. Georgia.
Hold
State
on, we missed a massive game here. Iowa State, Oklahoma State at 3:30.
I told you I liked Iowa State.
Oh, we already did that one.
Yeah.
Oh wow. Okay.
Might have been during my rant.
Okay, fair enough. Yeah, so I just want to talk about this one, Cliffy, and then I think we should get to the Thursday night games so that everyone can kind of stop asking about those. Iowa State, 3.5-point road favorite. Sorry, 3.5-point road dog. Oklahoma State, 3.5-point home fave. Spencer Sanders, it sounds like, is going to play and be the starter. I know they split time. Iowa State coming off another massive victory and against Texas Tech a couple weeks ago. They dominated that game. I know it's not exactly a big boy game or a big boy win, but, I mean, like, Iowa State continues to roll. This is it, Joe. This could be the game that decides the Big 12 championship, like, or who gets in from that side. Like, this could be it, because I don't think that there's two other teams that have a chance, really, to be honest with you. So I'm going to say this. Both these teams need this victory. Absolutely. This is going to be the biggest game of the season for both of these two teams in Stillwater. There are going to be some fans there. Spencer Sanders is back for Oklahoma State. The total on this one's 52.5, and I think you're actually going to see some Iowa State defense for the first time in a really, really long time. And Oklahoma State, we know they have good defensive skills still. You know, they were really good versus Tulsa earlier in the year. I mean, I have no interest in playing a pregame line on this one. I think that you should watch this game first half. I'm going to watch this game first half and then maybe look at a second half if you really want something. But Iowa State, Oklahoma State probably to me is the best game of the 3:30 window.
Okay. Okay. And then what else?
Let's go to the Thursday games, because we can touch on the 4 o'clock.
All right, quickly on the Thursday night games. Let's do college first.
Yep.
Appalachian State, Arkansas State. Arkansas State, if you watched last week's game, went back and forth. It was the highest scoring Sun Belt game ever. They have two quarterbacks. If you saw the stats, both their quarterbacks like are comparable to what Trevor Lawrence has done this year. The both combined.
Yep.
Their defense is bad. Appalachian State lost to Marshall. Appalachian State's a really good defense, like a really good defense. Their team total tonight's 41. The total's 69, Dan. So off the bat, I looked and I said, this should be an over. And then I'm like, I don't know, man. Appalachian State could control the clock. They could play better defense. So I'm really torn on this game. Earlier I said I hate taking unders, so I'm probably out on the under. I won't take the over. And then it comes down to Arkansas State covering, and I don't think I can do that. So right now I lean App State. I'm still going through it, dude. I don't have a pick yet, but I guess I want to hear your side.
I think this is one of the toughest Thursday night games we've had all year, to be honest with you. I think that the actual spread is telling me they expect App State to roll, right? You know the world's going to be on Arkansas State. You know they're seeing the 14, the 13.5, and everyone's taking it. I don't want to be baited into that, and I also don't want to be baited into what I've seen from App State. And to be honest with you, Joe, what I've seen from them hasn't been impressive. They weren't great versus Charlotte. They rolled Campbell, but the next week, Wake Forest beat Campbell worse. So, you know, what am I really supposed to take away from that? And their one real game against Marshall, they couldn't do anything offensively. Marshall and a freshman quarterback, even though it was in Marshall, I get that. So I felt like dominated the game, won 17-7. I felt like it should have been probably a bigger spread than that, 24-7, something like that, 20-7. So App State, to me, this is their coming out party, Joe. I mean, they need to dominate this game. They've had a few weeks to get ready for it. I think they've been off 3 or 4 weeks at this point. Arkansas State, to me, Logan Bonner and Lane Hatcher have been fucking awesome. But the last time they faced a really quality opponent was Coastal Carolina. They got shellacked. They lost 52-23. They lost by 29. At Memphis, another really quality opponent, 37-24. Now, they did beat K-State, and that was an impressive victory. Come from behind in the second half. Really big, really good win by Arkansas State there. And that was a COVID game, too. They had a bunch of players out. This is a stay-away-from-me game in every sense of the word, Joe. The total feels inflated to me at this point. There's absolutely no value in the over at 69.5. Open at 63. 69.5 now, almost a touchdown swing. The number's too big at this point, okay? It's just too big. I'm going to be passing on this game. This feels like a game that's going to be really, really difficult to bet, Joe. I'm going to look at something second half. Maybe I can find something second half. We'll see.
Okay. Yeah, as of right now, I lean App State. If it's 13, I might jump on it. I don't know if I want to buy the hook or not, but
it's 13.5 right now. Hmm. It got up to 14 for a few minutes, and then I know a few groups that ended up pounding that 14 real quick. They're taking the best number. So, you know, you're trying to average your best number.
Who you guys got?
I'd like to hear what people have tonight because I'm interested.
Dan, if you were like, Joe, you have to make a pick right now. I'm going to take Appalachian State minus 13.5.
If you put a gun to my head and made me take a side, that'd be the side I would go to as well. But I refuse to. I'd look at the App State team total. I feel like it's probably going to be App State something, but I refuse to bet that. Refuse to bet that game. Just I'm not doing it. I don't want to touch it.
All right. Do we want to wait for the football game and keep banging out some college?
Let's finish college and then we'll take a break and then we'll do the Thursday night NFL game.
All right, we'll take a quick break right here because we have to do that for our podcast now. Yeah. So it's the Over Under 985 podcast. I won't put myself in timeout for a little bit. All right, and then we'll get back here with Georgia State Troy.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Hardcore baseball talk. Inside the Ropes with Wrestling Talk. And where you should put your money with Over Under 98.5. Listen to the podcast at 98.5thesportshub.com and on the Sports Hub app.
You're listening to the Bankroll Boys. Follow them on Twitter at Joey Murr, at Dan Lifshatz, and send in your questions at Over Under 98.5.
All right, we're back. Georgia State at Troy. I hate Troy. They stink. They're 3-1, though. Georgia State beat UMass last week. Is that correct?
No, that was Georgia Southern.
I can't tell anybody apart.
Yeah, Georgia Southern beat UMass.
Let's see. Do I have anything on this one? Head-to-head, underdog 3-1. Well, 3-1-1 last five.
I can tell you that Troy looked ahead to this game last week because they beat Eastern Kentucky by 2. They won 31-29. They looked ahead. They were clearly not prepared. They're looking ahead to the Georgia State game as they should. So they should be ready for this game. I think if we're being honest, Georgia State is the better of these two teams. This may be one I come back to on Saturday, Joe. I have a feeling about this. I like Georgia State. I do. Offensively, they can score. Defensively, they're not stout, but Troy is not a super offensive team, and we saw them. They could move the ball against a half-decent defense in BYU. Let's be fair. BYU is a good defense. I shouldn't say that, but still, I lean Georgia State. I may add them Saturday.
BC versus Georgia Tech. I'm going to tell you this right now. BC can't stop the run. And yeah, if that's going to be an issue now, they did turn the ball over a ton last week. They lean on Jerkovich way too much. But Georgia Tech leans on Sims way too much, too. Georgia Tech's off that terrible loss against Clemson. BC, tough loss, too. But they're 3-2. One's 2-3. One's at home. BC's favored here. I don't like it. I think if they can't stop the run, they're going to have problems with Sims.
Yeah, BC, we talked about the spread with BC last week, and I said I think that they're, you know, this is going to be the weird big spread that everyone's going to jump on BC and whatever ended up happening. Of course, I didn't take it because I'm a bitch. But Georgia Tech, they have Notre Dame next week, then Pitt, then Miami. This is normally a look-ahead spot. I would still say this is a look-ahead spot, but this is a really big game for Georgia Tech. Like this game probably decides where the remainder of their season goes. Here's the problem with BC. They're at Clemson next week. So you got Georgia Tech looking ahead to Notre Dame, BC looking ahead to Clemson. This feels like a game that could be wildly unpredictable. I expect points. The one total I'm going to take this week. This is it. So PP, Georgia Tech, BC over 54.5. Maybe silly, maybe stupid, but I'm going to take it and I'm going to play it. And I feel okay that Georgia Tech will respond offensively and score, you know, 20-ish, and BC will, you know, continue to put up the 20-ish a week. BC just can't stop the run, and Sims can move the ball on the ground. They attack the ground game pretty hard. I think this is going to go over.
Okay. Let's see here. West Virginia, Texas Tech. West Virginia's been really good. Last year, Texas Tech won 38-17. But there is something different between these two teams, no doubt. They square off in Lubbock this time. Texas Tech had a really bad performance against Iowa State last week. Or was that 2 weeks ago? Whenever. And then West Virginia, as we mentioned, routed them a year ago. What's the spread here?
West Virginia is now 3.5-point favorites. Here's no problem with West Virginia. They haven't really played anyone. They beat Eastern Kentucky, crushed them, beat Baylor, which in a game I'm going to contend again, the refs absolutely fucked Baylor. And they beat Kansas, didn't cover. All bullshit. I mean, it was a kick return for a touchdown. So, you know, can't lose your mind. But, you know, 21.5-point spread, you win by 21. That'll gotcha. Texas Tech, I mean, they played Texas tough. They played Kansas State tough. Iowa State, they weren't in the same league, and it was on the road. I think Texas Tech has some chance to win this game. I really do. It's in Lubbock, too. You're getting 3 and the hook now. I lean Texas Tech on the money line here. I think if you're going to take Texas Tech, you got to take the money line.
Okay. So a couple of these games, Dan, I don't have much on because I just haven't really gotten into the Mountain West yet. Wyoming's at Nevada. I don't know much about it. I'm going to be honest. I haven't looked into it yet. Utah State Boise's another one. Saturday I can have more for you. I don't have much right now. And Mountain West obviously begins this week. You know, I love Hawaii. They play Fresno as well. I just need more time to look into that. So Saturday I'm going to go over Mountain West.
Okay, I'll go over what I have quickly for the Wyoming game first. Nevada's head coach is out for the game. Death in the family, and so he is offensive coordinator. He is taking over. Nevada got absolutely wrecked last year in this matchup. Wyoming, we were on the over last year for their win total. They were good. Sean Chambers is the returning quarterback. I assume he's probably going to be starting for Wyoming, although nothing is confirmed. 4.5 on the road to Nevada, I think, is short. I think you might be – I think there's going to be some buyback with the Nevada home dog, but 4.5 is pretty much a dead number. I mean, it's not great. I don't want to lock this one up or, you know, PP it because it's Wyoming. And, you know, as Joe kind of said, I haven't done my due diligence in Mountain West because everything's kind of been spent on the Big Ten for the past couple of weeks, you know, instead. So kind of focused on that. But I give the advantage to Wyoming here. I think that Craig Bull should have this team ready for another year. And there's been talk, Joe, that Wyoming is the darling of the Mountain West this year, and they may win that conference outright. So this might be a spot where on Saturday I have to come back and say, I have to take this, have to do it.
Yeah, I just need more time on that one. And we all know Boise, Utah State were two very good teams. Jordan Love, you know, Boise's different now as well. I don't have much on that just yet, but was it last? No, I was trying to say, I know Boise was upset at one point last year. Wasn't to them, though. All right.
Yeah, Utah State, I think, played them tough, but I think Jordan Love threw a pick at the end of the game. And 17 is a lot of points to lay with Boise. I mean, again, I know Bachmeier's back and everything, but that's a lot of points, man.
Dan, if I told you LSU was -7 at home versus South Carolina, you'd jump all over that number.
They're -6 now, actually. I know that there's a couple sharp guys looking to take money line straight up on LSU because they think this is ridiculous. Here's the problem. LSU's quarterback is out. So he is not playing. Miles Brennan, he is out on Sunday or Saturday, was just ruled out. TJ Finley is going to be the starter, and he is going to split time with Max Johnson. I don't know a ton about these kids. So, you know, this is going to be a game that I have to look into, at least from the LSU side more. South Carolina, we know. I mean, we do. Colin Hill has been a steady force for that team. Offensively, they've been better. They had a really nice win versus Auburn last week. I took them the second half. But they're looking ahead. Are they going to look ahead past LSU, Joe? I don't know. This could potentially be a look ahead for them because, you know, they have A&M next week and LSU without their quarterback. I doubt it's going to happen, but, man, LSU could really fall because if they lose to South Carolina, they have at Auburn and then home versus Bama the next 2 weeks. And then at Arkansas, who's a good defense right now, and then at Texas A&M, finish off with Miss and at Florida. This could be a disaster year for LSU. Really could be.
Crazy. All right. Michigan goes to Minnesota. The quarterbacks, dude, I'm telling you, in this one, I like Minnesota. I know Michigan won this game 33-10 last year. Tanner Morgan's good. Like, the Minnesota defense is good. PJ Fleck is a hell of a coach. I don't know who the quarterback's going to be for Michigan yet. I can tell you this. I've heard Cade McNamara is a stud, but they might be going with Joe Milton. So I'm not sure exactly what they're going to do at quarterback yet.
I believe Joe Milton was – is going to be named the starting quarterback. Yes.
So, again, I've heard McNamara is a stud.
Per Michigan reports, Milton is in line to start.
I just like the better quarterback in this matchup, dude. Tanner Morgan. The only thing I know, Minnesota's big receiver there opted out for the season, but yeah, I'm not betting it yet. But for me, I'm like a fade Michigan in these type of spots, you know. But I just feel like the better quarterback is on Minnesota.
Here's my biggest problem. I don't know a single person on Michigan. I don't know a single one. Every single person I've actually even like remotely talked to about this game, which is not a ton, but a few, Minnesota. I haven't seen a single person in Michigan, not one. Not a Twitter capper, not a single person I've talked to. And that's kind of scary. I mean, Minnesota was good last year, but let's try and repeat, the success that you had last year is difficult. And I don't know. Again, I'm not advising you to take them. I'm just not jumping on the Golden Gophers. I'll have more on this one Saturday. Yes, our friends on Chicken Dinner are in Michigan. That is true. I'll give them that.
So yeah, see, I've heard Joe Milton's great. He only played a few snaps last year. Cade McNamara is their future, is from everything I've read. But yeah, I know people are saying Milton's a stud. Well, we'll see. We'll see on that. By the way, the Chicken Dinner podcast threw a little shot at them last week. They're in first place now in the Odd Shark. I'm in fourth.
Sam Pejanovic, dude. He's the man. I love Sam. He's a great dude.
People are talking about Milton as a potential number one pick. Wow. See, I think Zach Wilson's getting up there, but whatever. We can talk about that.
Can we relax as a Michigan quarterback? Like, let's see him play a game before we talk about his number
okay.
one pick.
I don't know much about Hawaii this year. I'm being honest with you. Okay. I have Hawaiian intel.
I've actually looked into this game a little bit.
I will tell you this. The backup quarterback for Hawaii last year is their starter. He is nasty. He is good.
You're talking about Cordero, right?
He is good. Shabba Very Cordero. Good. At times, they had to bench what's-his-face, the dreaded kid, for him.
McDonald, yep.
Yeah, normally in these spots, Fresno's your better team here. Game's also not on the island, so I got nothing on. I got to call my Hawaiian intel this weekend. I got to make a phone call.
Okay, here's what I have on Fresno. They're Jake Hanner is going to be the starting quarterback for them. Okay, I don't know a ton about this kid. He's a Washington transfer. That's what I do know. What I do know about them as well is that Fresno has a new coach, okay? They are able to kind of bring back, you know, their offensive coordinator, Kalen DeBoer, who was the former Fresno offensive coordinator, went to Indiana, now he's back. So that is a problem for Indiana, okay, and Michael Penix and everyone there, okay? So DeBoer is back in Fresno. Fresno was awesome in 2019. Sorry, 2018. They were awesome. Goes to Indiana, helps Michael Penix, now he's back. What is going to happen here with Fresno having an offensive coordinator again? I like Fresno. Not telling I'm PPing them. I'm just saying I like Fresno. I think that Fresno is the right side in this one. Hawaii playing. Remember, this is a 1:30 game for Hawaii. Something like that? Ooh. Or like, what is it? Yeah. Sorry, they're 3 hours behind four, so it's a 4:30. So take away 6 hours. It's a fucking 10:30 game for Hawaii. 10:30 a.m. game for Hawaii. I mean, seriously. Sorry, no, it's a 1:30 game for Hawaii. I was right the first time. They're 6 hours behind. 1:30 game for Hawaii. That's ridiculous. Like, hey, this is going to be.
Yes, 1:30.
This is tough, yeah, 1:30. This is going to be a tough game for Hawaii.
6 hours backwards.
Yes, I know. Yeah, I know. I fucked that up. I did 3 and then 6 instead of 3 and 3.
Yeah, yeah. I'll have my wife give you a lesson.
I understand how to do it. I just fucked up. Okay, let's be fair. I'm looking at a bunch of stuff right now.
Ooh, Maryland, Northwestern. Ew. Ooh, who's the quarterback for Maryland? Oh, this game's gross.
Yeah.
Remember Maryland scored 70 the opening game?
I do. And here's the thing. Northwestern is laying 11. Has Northwestern ever covered by 11 points?
You know, Peyton Ramsey is where is he going? He transferred from Indiana, right?
Yes, he's the grad transfer.
Yeah. Ooh.
Yep.
Ooh.
Because they're going back to Michael Penix. Now, here's the thing about Maryland. They're either starting Tua Tagovailoa's brother.
Yes.
Okay. So it's Talia Tagovailoa.
Talia Tagovailoa.
Or Lance Legendre is the other name. They have not discussed who it's going to be. But those are the two. Those are the two guys on the QB depth chart there.
So this being a Big Ten game, you know, I would generally choose the under. Saturday, circling this one. We need to know who the quarterback is.
I don't think we're going to know until game time, to be honest with you, but we can take a look.
Okay. We're just moving along here. Guys, there's so many games to get to.
Okay, how about that? Let's do UL Monroe, South Alabama. South Alabama, 14.5-point favorites. I got nothing. South Alabama is the much, much, much better team.
We know they have the better defense, too.
Correct.
ULM is 0-5.
They might be the worst team in Division I football outside of UMass.
Did we do Western Kentucky Chattanooga? Because
we did not. But
Western Kentucky should win that game and cover.
Sure, but they've been terrible this year.
I actually played against a kid who went to Chattanooga.
Weird. We still got 5 more games. We got to speed it up. We haven't touched yet.
All right, Miami, Virginia, Miami, 12.5. Now they barely covered last week, but Virginia, woof.
And it doesn't sound like Brennan Armstrong's playing again, which is real scary.
Miami back-to-back weeks at home. I mean, is that good or bad for them? You know, is that like, are they getting in trouble this week, or are they like, you know, focused as fuck? I don't know. Who they got next? Who's Miami playing next?
They have a bye next week. And
they're going to roll Virginia.
I'm staying away from it, but if I think you're going to see the public and the sharps on Miami. I think it's going to happen this week. I think it is. All right. La Tech, UTSA. Do you want to say anything more on that?
No. That La Tech, though, I've watched them play. On the road, huh?
One and a half point favorites on the road. I think UTSA has been pretty good, but they've had three games. They lost by 8 to UAB. They lost by a touchdown at BYU. Both of those road games. And then this is the problem. I'm okay with those losses. Lose by 12 at home to Army? Not a good win. I mean, now La Tech just got shellacked by Marshall, and they have UAB next week. So they could be in a potential look ahead here. I don't know. UTSA or nothing. That's how I look at this one.
Okay. And then there's this one. Very interesting. I like the over in the BYU-Texas State. You know, Texas State averages 28 points a game. Are they going to be able to do that against BYU? I'm going to say no. Now, is BYU going to score 30-plus? Probably.
Yeah. Do you think BYU covers the 29-point spread?
Man, do they love to run up that score.
That is a hell of a lot of points. Now, again.
Who's BYU? Who's on deck for BYU?
They have Western Kentucky. So it's not exactly a look-ahead spot. And Texas State does have Louisiana Lafayette, then App State. So this is like almost a break for them. This game is just – Texas State, I think I don't want to touch this one. This one feels super gross. This is a late-night game you add on late. I will say we missed the game. I want to go back to this game because this is a really good game here, Joe. Cincinnati on the road at SMU. This is the best of the night slate, in my opinion. 9:00 on the road in Dallas, Gerald Ford Stadium. SMU loses their starting running back and starting wide receiver for the year last week in the win over Tulane. Cincinnati, who hasn't played in a couple weeks now, gets SMU then Memphis. They're number 9 team in the fucking country. They're definitely not the 9th best team in the country. They're the most overrated team in the AP top 25, in my opinion. SMU opened as a Let me take a look here. As a pick'em, it's now SMU minus 2.5. It's absolutely a sharp side because Cincinnati's getting the majority of the bet. You like anything in this one, Joe?
So I actually like SMU. Cincinnati is overvalued as number 10 in the country. They are. If we're comparing quarterbacks, Ritter versus Bouchel. I mean, Bouchel's better.
I don't even think it's fucking close.
Cincinnati. So these two teams played 2 years ago. Cincinnati won. I know Luke Fickle's a really good coach. I know he is. So I'm not slighting Cincinnati by any means.
And a good recruiter.
And Sonny Dykes is very good as well, but he's an offensive coach. Cincinnati relies on their defense and their running game. They have been averaging 35 points a game, though. I think when it comes down to it, right, I think SMU's prepared to win these type of games. But Cincinnati has won 3 out of the last 4 meetings. This is SMU's best chance. And I just think Cincinnati's overvalued as a top 10 team.
I do. And again, this open is a pick 'em.
Like, so, dude, I mean, they win this game, right? They potentially play who? Memphis or UCF in the Memphis, probably, right? Memphis.
Yeah, but honestly, would you doubt Tulsa? If Tulsa could get something going there?
Yeah. I just mean like that they win. If Cincinnati beats SMU, they have a 1-2 game. Like, I'll look at the rest of their schedule.
They have Memphis, Houston, UCF, Temple, and Tulsa. They have a very tough schedule. Yeah.
So they
SMU isn't much better. They have Cincy, Navy, Temple, Tulsa, Houston, ECU.
SMU's got a better road. SMU needs this win. Needs it. Where Cincinnati's got like a long road.
I'd argue Cincinnati needs this win because.
Well, no, I hear you both ways. But if SMU wins this, dude, they already beat Memphis.
Yep. I get it, but they still have to face Houston on the road at Tulsa. Nothing's easy. Nothing is easy in that conference. The American Conference is better this year.
We're going to talk about this one Saturday. That's a
agreed.
That's a good game. 9 o'clock at night. I'm going to watch that one. UNLV San Diego State. UNLV's been so bad. I mean, do they even care? Did they form a program this year? I don't know. I know that San Diego State's well coached. I need to look into UNLV. Do they care? Who's their coach? Dude left them last year.
I'm trying to remember let me look it up here because I actually do not remember off the top of my head. Marcus Arroyo. Okay, right. So he was the offensive coordinator.
For Oregon. That's right. Oregon.
Yes, he was the offensive coordinator for Oregon. He got hired there. He has not been able to implement anything, though. I mean, again, no recruiting, no nothing. So they're kind of going in with what they had last year. UNLV, who had Lou, lost their quarterback. Kenyon Oblad played a lot last year, if you remember him. I think he's going to be the starter from what I've heard, although it sounds like Justin Rogers is going to be playing as well, or potentially, challenging there. To me, San Diego State is the far superior team here. They defensively, would you doubt they get a defensive score here? I would not. They're very, very talented, well-coached team. I don't want to touch it. I don't want to touch it, but I would not be surprised if it's San Diego State. Okay. Especially if you can get a 14 on San Diego State, I think they probably win this by 17, 20 points, something like that. So,
all right. And then, Air Force, right? Dude, they were awesome. They were oh my God, were they awesome?
I know. They were awesome. What are we getting out of San Jose State? Because at times that team was good last year, at times they were not. This is one I want to look into more Saturday, but again, I don't want to just give it up.
I apologize for the Mountain West stuff and the West Coast. It's just, again, like I had to look up UNLV's coach just now. I wasn't prepared.
It was Marcus Arroyo. Yeah.
That's what I mean. We I need a couple more days.
Okay. Break time, and then we'll get to the NFL.
We get the NFL coming up next. We'll do the Thursday night game.
Yep.
When's the election?
November 3rd.
Okay, so next week?
Next,
2 weeks.
Yes, Tuesday and 2 weeks.
God, do I hate.
Yes, I'll give you some state picks. I'm not going to give you the winner because
I don't know, man. I mean,
I am not giving fucking the winner of the election because here's what's going to happen. No matter who I choose, it's a lose-lose proposition for me, so I'm not going to do it.
Okay. I've been looking at some props in the Thursday night game. I have to pee.
Okay. Well,
should I do a pause for pee?
Yeah, let's take a five-minute break.
A true pee-pee?
A true pee-pee, a true pause. I'll go take a pee, you go take a pee.
Hey, you know what I'm going to do? I got something here. Hang on. Let me see if I can pull something up here. Not pull something out, up. Let's see. What can we put here? You know what? Let's give our buddies at Wrestling Inside the Ropes.
Okay, I will stop my camera.
Yeah, let's do that. Let's give our buddies over there a little plug-ola. Oh, well. All right. We'll be back in a minute.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Hardcore Baseball Talk. Inside the Ropes with Wrestling Talk, and where you should put your money with Over Under 98.5. Listen to the podcast at 98.5thesportshub.com and on the Sports Hub app.
And we're back.
Here we go. Take the. There we go. I feel better.
Nobody knows.
I feel better.
Woo!
Double little. You got a little PP action there. A little PP. Yeah, I feel much better now.
Woo. All right.
Let's.
I had to run up the stairs. Friday McGee.
Long podcast. It's a lot of talk.
You know what? If you're going to spell Kowloon, get it right.
Don't kill. Come on. Most people don't know. It's a Massachusetts thing.
I'm actually going to be there this weekend. Don't stalk me.
Okay. I won't stalk.
All right.
I got a pick for you in this game. Let's get to
okay,
it.
Okay, here we go. Let's take it. All right. I have to ask you and the people.
Yep.
I have a list of teams that we can't bet.
Oh, no. Teams that you can't bet. My team is fucking Illinois. I got one team.
Team Auburn is on the list, okay? But NFL teams, Cowboys, right? Can't bet the Cowboys.
Yeah,
it's if you're drunk, man, that's a pass. 7-7. Arc State and what the hell am I doing right now? All right, so there's team. The Falcons were on the list, but they're off now. Are the Eagles off the list because they've covered two in a row and won one outright?
Not for me. They covered last week too. Not only did they cover, they killed everyone's teasers last week. The books and the NFL fucking cleaned up.
I had a personal parlay that you're going to hate, Dan.
Classic.
I took the Falcons money line in the Eagles plus 10.
Wow, that is disgusting. That's a great victory.
It hit.
I know.
And I just did it for funsies.
That is gross.
Yeah, so that hit. Good job on your Arkansas State first quarter over 3.5. That's a good bet.
Yeah, I like that one.
3.5? Where were we on that?
Dude, I can't do it.
He did post it, though.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, no.
Anyway.
Shout out to Chris Topher.
The Giants are 6-0 against the spread the last six games at Lincoln Stadium. But do you realize how bad they are against the Eagles? They've lost seven straight to the Eagles. Seven!
As long as they cover.
They barely won last week against Washington.
Good teams win, great teams cover. I'd say the Giants are great then because they're 6-0 in the last six. I like something on the total, Joe. Going a little astray here. I don't know what to tell you. We'll start. So, PP. Little PP Thursday night action. Give me the Giant Eagles under 45. Under. I think that this is, we're going back to the divisional type game here. I don't expect Daniel Jones to be throwing the ball over the field. I don't expect the Eagles to be going all over the place. Everyone is on the fucking over as it all also, which is, you know, not that it really matters since fading the public is not a profitable angle in years. But we had 62% of the bet on the over, 65% of the money on the over as well. There are some sharp groups on the over, some sharp groups on the under. It opened at 45.5. I was lucky enough to get a 45.5 on Ace. It's down to 44 and a half. Nightmare, do not stop betting unders. I know that they suck, but you have to bet unders, and you can't just not bet an entire side of a bet, because you'll just steal stocks. So yeah, I'm going under 45, Joe.
Do you lean a side?
I lean death over picking a side. honestly, gun to, it opened 45 and a half, and now it's 44, and now it's 45. So, I mean, I don't understand. They dropped that point. No, I don't want anything. It's a dog. It's a dog and under night. I'm not fucking doing it. I don't want the dog. Fuck it. Just give me the under. No, I'm out. I don't want the Giants, dude. No, thank you. No, thank you. Do you like the Giants tonight?
I don't know who I like.
Do you like the over tonight? What do you like?
This morning I like the Giants.
Okay. Yeah, I do remember.
And then I like the Eagles. I saw the Eagles in actives. Woof. Alshon, Jeffrey, like, dude, like, everybody's in.
Yeah, I mean, they're going full Greg Ward, Fulgham, and who else?
The Giants.
Richard Rodgers is their tight end tonight.
The Giants just weren't good last week. They were not good last week. I got nothing, man.
Okay, fair enough. I'm riding the
makes no money though, right?
Hey, listen, I've seen pretty good action on both sides of this one.
All right, here's the Giants are 0-7 straight up the last seven games versus the Eagles. They've lost by either 8 points or more. Now, the total has gone under in 8 of the Giants' last 10 games on the road in general. The Giants are 6-0 against the spread the last 6 games on the road in general. But they're 0-13 straight up in their last 13 as an underdog.
The Giants would be a half game out if they win tonight. And I believe the Eagles, I think, would be in first place or tied for first, because the tie doesn't count towards your percentage points. I don't even know. So this is actually a fucking big game in the NFC East, as crazy as that is to think.
Only thing I can tell you is the Eagles, they're 5-0 straight up their last 5 games just against guys in their division. So, I don't know, Dan. Home team in the under, right?
I'm going under. I'm going under.
Okay. NFL. Let's do it. NFL picks for this week.
All right. We'll get more into the NFL on Saturday too. We're gonna keep I think we're gonna try to keep this brief, because we're getting deep.
Carolina, New Orleans. New Orleans off a bye. We know how Carolina plays with Teddy Bridgewater, quarterback. The spread's 7, which is always a tough one there.
What's 7.5 this week?
New Orleans won the last meeting 42-10, but that was a year ago. I just feel like that's just the numbers. New Orleans, I don't feel like it's been good at home.
No, and we don't know if they have Michael Thomas now. He hurt his hamstring again, so we don't know if he's playing again this week. App State touchdown, by the way, it's 14-7. I don't really know. I tend to like Carolina with the 7.5. I think the Saints, 3-2. I still think Carolina can win this game. I don't want to touch it. I'm probably not playing this one.
All right,
7.5. I'm gonna go Carolina.
Call me square, but I like Cleveland over Cincinnati, even though Cincinnati last week, they won last week.
No, they were up 24.
Sorry, they lost.
They were up 24-0 and lost the game.
I think they're going to lose again to Cleveland. So whether it's – I think Cleveland wins the game. I don't know about the 3 or whatever, but Cleveland's going to win the game.
Yeah, this is a weird spread, the fact that it's only 3. It opened at 4.5. The Sharps are on Cincy. Let's not overthink this. I agree. I like Cleveland this week. I don't want to overthink this. And I'd say maybe over. I think Cleveland's going to give him some points. Cincy should score some points. And I know that Mixon did not practice today, by the way.
So last week I said Green Bay. That was square. It was square. I got beat. The Bucks played the game of their life. I can't believe how bad. I'm actually shocked how bad Green Bay played. I'm shocked. So I won't back them, even if they're getting 3 points. So giving three to Houston, I won't go back to the well with them this week after that performance.
Hey, the Texans coming off that bad loss, though, dude. I mean, that's as bad of a loss as you really get. They had that game. They gave it back. Titans, man. Houston is just so disappointing, but it's not surprising. At least they're playing better under the new coach. I don't want to do this, but if the total is so high, Joe, it's at 57. I'd stay away. Maybe you look over. I don't know. I have nothing on that one. Nothing.
I don't love the game. but I'm definitely not touching Houston. That's for sure. I'm giving this one out. I gave it on the Odd Shark pick. You can see it probably on there. Everything on this pick, dude. You'll argue with everything I say here. You'll and that's why I'm going with it.
Okay.
Pittsburgh going on the road -1 PP. I thought Tennessee missed two field goals, fumbled the ball, like they gave the game away, but they won, and it was a hell of a pass to Derrick Henry, and then the King Cat, as they do. Pittsburgh is going to take a lot to stop right now. Their schedule stinks. If you look at Pittsburgh, everything that they've done on their schedule, it's overrated. But I'm going to ride it. I just think Tennessee, after emotional win at home, I think Pittsburgh's really good this year, and I think they're going to win. If I can get Pittsburgh by one, I'm going to take it.
No, I actually am not going to argue with you anything there either. I think this is a game I'm going to completely avoid because I don't know if the Titans are going to luck box into another victory, if Pittsburgh's going to dominate their way into another victory. I felt very confident about Pittsburgh last week. I thought they were the right side. They were. I really don't have a great feel for this one, Joe, to be perfectly honest with you. I think you're trying to pick one of the hardest games on the board. The Titans have been really good at home. They're 3-0 at home. The Steelers haven't had a ton of away games, just one. So maybe that, you know, would be the reason to take, you know, Tennessee. But at some point, Tennessee is going to get bit, and it feels like, you know, Pittsburgh is a very talented team. So I want nothing to do with either one of them. I think we will see regression for both teams, though, coming up. I mean, there is going to be legitimate regression for both teams. It's going to happen.
Okay, Detroit, Atlanta. I've gone back and forth on this one. It's weird, but I like Atlanta at home.
Yeah, I mean, I do too, which is terrifying and scary, and that's never fun for anyone. You know, they play better in the dome. The Lions are a dome team, though, so, I mean, it's not like it's going to be a massive fucking change for them. You just expect if Matt Ryan continues to play the way he played last week with Julio and Ridley, and he moves the ball and he actually gets it to fucking Julio. Todd Gurley is running really well right now. I'm impressed by what the Falcons are doing, you know, at least offensively, and they should score some points. Now, that being said, defensively, they're a fucking mess, and, you know, Detroit is, you know, can score offensively. They're, you know, Golladay's really helping to move the ball, and, you know, Swift, when he's healthy, is really good there. And Adrian Peterson's been a solid addition to the run game. Maybe look over in the total, but I do think that Atlantis probably ends up being the right side.
All right, dude. Bills, Jets. I mean, it's Bills or nothing, right?
I mean, I'm not taking the Jets. So, I mean, yeah, it's Bills or nothing. I don't know what we're going to do here. It sounds like Flacco's going to play. Darnold still has some pain in his shoulder. The beat writers are already pushing for him not to play because he has pain in the shoulder. I don't know. Maybe the Bills lighten up because they don't want fucking dipshit to get fired there. Gase is the worst coach in the NFL. I don't think it's very you know, a shocking thing to say that. It's Buffalo or nothing. It's very square, but you got to lay the points of Buffalo or nothing, even though Buffalo has not looked good the last 2 weeks.
Yeah,
I agree. Don't overthink
it. I still think they're tanking, but they would have fired Gase, I think, by now. They cared.
Oh, yeah, the Jets are absolutely tanking.
Another one for you here is Dallas on the road at Washington. I can't trust Dallas right now. Washington's off a cover. Dallas has more talent. There's no doubt about it. I'm sorry. I'm not going to bet this one, but if it was me, I'd take Washington at home.
This is a weird fucking game, dude. This is a weird, weird game. The look ahead, by the way, for the Kansas City, New York Jets game, Kansas City minus 21.5 is the look ahead next week. The Chiefs Jets game. Dallas, Washington. Dude, this game is fucking weird because you don't know what type of Andy Dalton you're going to get. I expect Dalton to have some success at some point with this Dallas team. They have too many weapons. Gallup, Cooper, who else am I forgetting? CeeDee Lamb. Even Cedric Wilson's played well there. They have too many weapons in the passing game to not be effective downfield. Dallas is going to score some points at some point. It just depends when. Gun to the head says Dallas, but I wouldn't bet it. I wouldn't bet it. Can't do it. This week's tough, dude. This week is.
Jacksonville and the Chargers in the 4 o'clock slate. Chargers at home, Jacksonville. There's got to be some trends here. Because remember how, Chargers won 45-10 last year. Wow. And I wonder if there was like some Colts. Because remember how the Colts lost to them first week? I was seeing if there was some sort of trend there. The over, 4-0 in the last four meetings. Jaguars are very bad in Los Angeles. They're 0-8 against the spread against Chargers last 8 games.
Yeah. I mean, this is a really far trip, from Jacksonville to LA. So, that is a legitimately far travel trip for a 1-5 team, 0-3 at home. The Chargers 0-2 at home, though. Oh, sorry, 0-3 on the road is what I mean. The Chargers are 0-2 at home, 1-4 overall. Yeah, I think we gave out. I can't remember if we did, but we said we liked it. The Chargers under win total. Okay, is this a must win for LA? Because if they lose this game, they go 1-5. They lose at home to the Jaguars, who now go 2-5. Is this potentially the Anthony Lynn like potential firing here? Is he start to get looked at as the next guy? Because the Chargers after the Jaguars have a really nice schedule for the next 4 weeks. Like if you're 1-5 and then you at Denver, home versus the Raiders, whoever COVID problem. At Miami, home versus the Jets. But after that, it gets pretty much impossible. So you have about a stretch of 4 or 5 games here that you need to capitalize on. You got to go 3-2 here. After that, you got the Patriots, Falcons, at the Raiders, home versus Denver, and at the Chiefs. So this is a really big game for LA, in my opinion. This is a huge game for them.
Chiefs over Denver. I'm not even thinking about it. Give me the minus 10. And you know what? I'll PP it.
Bang, bang. Yeah, I think it's hard to disagree. Kansas City looked really, really good Monday night. I think you're going to see a lot of people on Denver because of the victory against the Patriots. People are going to overrate them, overvalue them. Could be getting Kansas City against
Locke almost gave the game away. People realize.
Two picks at the end of the game. They were terrible. The Patriots should have won that game.
And, Denver came away with the Jets win, too.
Yep.
They both those games were potential losses.
Denver could be a 4 or 5 win team.
Now they do need Melvin Gordon and Noah Fant back. That would help.
Lindsey was good enough last week.
To us over 100 yards.
Fant would help a lot. I expect him back.
Patriots. This game moved. Sorry. I also Tampa Bay, Las Vegas. It's Tampa Bay for me. Las Vegas has too many distractions. Plus, Vegas is just a penalty machine.
I don't expect this game to be played. Vegas has all five offensive linemen out for COVID right now. There's a potential they could come back if, you know, they end up, testing negative. Again, I know that, but they also have Jonathan Abrams out. It feels like a shit show in Vegas right now. If you find a Bucks Rogue 3, I think you got to take it right now. I mean, maybe you can find it on some locals still around. I know I have a Bucks 3. I just had to take it because of, you know, what was going on. And I feel like you could probably bounce back on LA if you want to. But we saw what the lack of practice and distractions did to the Patriots last week, and that's a well-coached team. What's it going to be like for Vegas and Gruden, who – I feel like still is not a great coach team, even though 3-2 this year. Gruden just kind of isn't really an X's and O's guy. Doesn't focus on the little things. I do feel that the Raiders are in, you know, trouble here. Even though this is not a good spot for the Bucs and could be an absolute letdown, I still think if you can find a Rogue 3, you got to take it. So,
all right, and then Patriots San Fran. We discussed this morning. The Patriots are favored. I don't know, man. I mean, the only thing I'll give the Patriots credit here is they're getting everybody back. Bo Allen's going to be in the mix. They got Andrews back, Mason back. They're going to have their line intact. Illumino's hurt, but, you know, Enwino's played well.
He slides over to right tackle. It's pretty seamless.
They're back. I mean, they got everybody back. And Cam Newton was bad. I think he needs to play better. I think that secondary can match up with their receivers. I think they have a lot of options. No Mostert's going to hurt because the Patriots have struggled against, the run the last couple of weeks. But do they know Jimmy Garoppolo? Is this a thing that, like, all right, there they got the one up here. I know San Fran's schedule isn't great. They did win a good game last week. Garoppolo still has the ankle here. And a team with a Super Bowl hangover, I just like to throw that in there. I don't like the spot for the Patriots, but if they're favored by two, it's like there's got to be something to it that they win.
Well, they opened at 5, and now they're down to 2. I hate the spot for San Francisco. I mean, their wins this year are on the road to the Jets, where they did not win convincingly, 31-13. They crushed the Giants in New York, and they beat the Rams, the divisional opponent. Again, divisional games are always different. They were getting super undervalued. The look-ahead spot in that game was San Francisco -3, and they ended up going out and closing at +3. So, I mean, a 6-point swing, I thought that was an easy bet there. I didn't post it because I'm a pussy, but, San Francisco's probably going to be overvalued now, and the Patriots are going to be undervalued. People are going to say, oh, look, they're 2-3. They lost Tom Brady. They're not the same. They didn't practice for 2 weeks. I still think the Patriots bounce back. Bill knows Jimmy Garoppolo. I think that should help at least. They don't have to prep for an unknown quarterback or a quarterback they don't know very well. They know his flaws. They know what they do well. The Niners, as you said, Joe, have a lot of offensive options. Deebo Samuel, Brandon Ayuk, Kendrick Bourne's been good for them. George Kittle. If you take away Kittle and force them to get the ball and you man up against Ayuk and Samuel and Bourne, which I think the Patriots actually have the bodies to do, I think it's going to be tough for the Niners to win this game. And especially if you blitz Jimmy Garoppolo, he struggles under pressure. We saw that in New England. It's not, some crazy mystery. I think they'll put together a game plan. I like the Patriots there.
All right. And then now the Sunday night game now is Arizona-Seattle. Did you know that Arizona has played 6 games that have not gone over a total this year?
Wow.
The total for this one's 56.
You ride the trend?
I'm just saying, it's weird. Plus, their home dogs getting 3. I feel like a lot of people are going to be on Seattle here. I'm just trying to see if there's any.
Yeah.
So, Arizona won this meeting last year, 27-13.
Yeah, I like Arizona in the spot as well. I do. I think that they're in a pretty good spot at home. Divisional opponent, games are played differently. Seattle's going to have a hard time covering everyone that Arizona can throw at them. And Arizona's defense, not elite, but still good enough. Divisional opponent's a little bit different. But I like the matchup for the Cardinals here. I do. I think that Seattle's going to have a really hard time covering all of those wide receivers. Christian Kirk has really turned it on for the Cardinals in the last couple of weeks. And he's been really good for them. So you got to cover Hopkins and Kirk and, you know, and Fitzgerald and Isabella, plus the running backs. It starts to pile up, even though Dan Arnold is, you know, a viable option. So, all right, Joe, final game.
Bears-Rams.
The Rams are -6 at home. What do you think about that? The Rams in a bounce back spot.
Head to head, the Bears are 7-3 against the spread the last 10 meetings. The home team's 4-1 against the spread the last 5 meetings.
I have a play on this one. I'm going to save it for Saturday. I'm going to save it for Saturday.
Good man.
I've given out plenty today. We gave out a bunch. I'll save it for Saturday because I want to be able to give out a few picks on Saturday too. But I will just say to me, this is, I think, the best spot in the NFL all week. So I think I'm gonna take that on Saturday. So,
all right, Dan. Again, you like who tonight? What do you got?
I got the under in the Eagles game. Under 40.
Everybody's betting the Giants on Twitter right now that I'm looking at.
Really? I see everyone on the Eagles.
Giants plus Ryan. Giants plus Ryan. Ryan. Giants. Eagles win 23-16. What's that? 34-39. There you go. Yep, you know all the people on Twitter. Everybody loves to follow. I suggest making your own picks. Use the insight that you have and make your own pick. So under, Dan, huh?
Yep, that's the way I'm going tonight.
Did you know that Daniel Jones 0-3 in prime time?
I did know that. Yes, it's too small of a sample.
Carson Wentz 4-0 on Thursday nights.
Interesting. Did not know that. That is nice. Too bad, Carson. Too bad he can't do it on fucking Sunday night. So.
App State 55-yard touchdown run. That's what put them up 14-7.
Yep.
So that is it for us. We're back on Saturday. I hope everyone enjoyed the 2 hours that we took out of our day to do this. I'm going to go sit in my chair and watch sports and bet the rest of the night.
Time for football. All right, guys.
Dan, I will send this to you. It will be up soon. Thank you, everybody, for checking in. This is the Over Under 985 podcast.
What you got? Have a good one, guys.
Later, bud.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.